Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The man in today's gospel reading asks the wrong question. As Jesus is making his way towards Jerusalem, teaching in the villages, a man comes and asks him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And it was the wrong question. And we know this because Jesus doesn't answer that question. And it's not like Jesus is playing that trick of a politician where you're asked one question and you decide to just answer the question you wanted them to ask in the first place. And it's not because Jesus doesn't know the answer to the man's question, because of course he does. He is God in the flesh. He is all-knowing. He knows the answer to that question. He knows how many people will be saved. And it's not because Jesus was afraid to answer the question, like as if he were going to offend someone if he were to give them the answer. Jesus wasn't afraid of speaking the truth, even if it offended people. It's really the wrong question, because we know that it's a question we shouldn't be asking either. We should not ask how many are to be saved, because only God knows the answer to that question. Only God can judge the hearts of men. So let's leave the counting business to him. But through the answer that Jesus does give, it helps us to understand that we should be asking a different question. And the different question that we should be asking, as well as those original hearers of Jesus on that day, is this: am I saved? Am I saved? Am I in or am I out? And ultimately, the hearers of today's reading should have been asking themselves that question: am I saved? And so too, after hearing today's reading, we should be asking ourselves, am I saved? In other words, on that last day, when the master of the house has risen and shuts the door, will I be one of those people who are standing outside begging to get in? Or will I be one of those people who reclines at the table in the kingdom of God? Are you in or are you out? Am I saved? It's a question we might be asking ourselves, because Jesus tells us in today's reading that we are to strive to enter the kingdom of God through the narrow door. For many will seek to enter and will not be able, Jesus says. So that striving to enter into the kingdom of God will be an agonizing struggle for us, an ordeal, something that takes great effort based on what Jesus is telling us. So what happens if we're striving, and we're striving all throughout our lives, quite literally trying to stay on the straight and narrow, and we find out in the end that we've fallen short, or we've missed the mark, or we're slightly off course? Well, then we're in big trouble, right? Because Jesus says, once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, that's the end. There are no more second chances. That's the last day. That's the day of judgment, and we don't know when that day will come. And so when that day comes, we must be ready, because there are no more chances. So when that day comes, if you're standing right in front of that door, if you're not standing right in front of that door, you won't be able to get in, because the door is narrow. There's not a lot of wiggle room there. You've got to be right on, dead center, in order to get through that door. So that might cause us some distress. How can I ever be sure that I'll make it? How can I ever be sure that I'll be on the inside of that door on the last day? How can I be sure that I won't be on the outside pleading with the master to let me in? Jesus says that when those on the outside of the door are pleading for that master to open the door and let them in, he'll say, "I do not know where you come from." Then you'll begin to say, "We ate and we drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets." But you'll say, "I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil." In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are cast out. That's pretty serious business. It was serious business for those Jews during that day who thought, "Well, I'm a son of Abraham. Of course I'm going to make it in." Jesus is saying that's not how this works. You're going to see all of those forefathers go before you through that door. You're going to see the prophets go before you through that door. You're going to see the believers in Christ go go before you through that door, and these unbelievers will not go through. It's pretty serious business, because he's talking about eternity here, an eternity shut outside of the kingdom of heaven, an eternity in hell, which Jesus describes as a place of torment where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we've got to know. We've got to know the answer to that question. Where will I be on the last day? Will I be in, or will I be out? And perhaps you're thinking to yourself, I don't know. Could be that I'm one of those on the outside. Maybe I'm one of those who's pleading to get in. I sure hope that's not me, but it could be. I don't know. Maybe a little worried. Or maybe you're quite certain. You're saying, no, Jesus is not talking about me. I'm on the inside. I know. I'm confident in that. Or maybe this is something that's really distressing you, because you know that you have missed the mark. You know that you have fallen short. You can see that you're off track. You know that, as you've confessed in the liturgy, you know that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We know that. We know that we are sinful. We know that we deserve not to walk through that narrow door into eternal life. We know that we deserve to be separated from God for all eternity because of our sin. We know that. The truth is, none of us, no matter how confident we are in ourselves, no matter how much we recognize our sinfulness, no matter if we're not sure, you know, whether or not we're going to be on the inside or the outside, the truth is none of us can make it on our own. None of us, no matter how hard we strive, can get through that narrow door and enter into the kingdom of heaven on our own. None of us. Nobody. Not one single human being has that ability, except for one, and that is Christ, who is God in the flesh. That man, Jesus Christ, doesn't just show us the way, but he paves the way and takes us with him. That man, Jesus Christ, brings us the good news. He takes us with him because he has united himself with us, ultimately through the waters of holy baptism, which gives us faith and connects us to him, and also through his church, through the work of the Holy Spirit in his church, through the opportunities that we have to be filled with that good news and that strengthening of our faith. So in answer to that question, am I saved? We can say most certainly, yes, I am saved. Not because of my own doing, but because of the work of Christ. And that's the other important question, right? How am I saved? Because the door is narrow, and Jesus said, people will come from the east and the west, or the north and the south, and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And notice that Jesus doesn't make the door any wider to accommodate for all sorts of different schools of thought, or different ways of thinking, or different standards concerning sin. God doesn't loosen those standards or overlook the faults of sinful men. No, the standard has been set. The door is narrow. No one can enter the kingdom of God if he's not on the straight and narrow, dead on center. There's no variances. There's no veering off course at any time. There's no imperfections whatsoever. The door is narrow. And yet the love of God is wide and far reaching. So people from east, west, north, south, all over the world are brought in. This is not exclusive to any one nation. Christ's salvation is for everyone. His sacrifice on the cross is for everyone. It is for you. His perfect obedience to God's law, his willingness to accept, to be an acceptable sacrifice for our sin, it's for all people. And because of this, he has set us free from the burden of our sin, which would ultimately prevent us from entering into the kingdom of heaven and having everlasting life. We would be so worried about ourselves that we wouldn't care about our neighbors. We'd be willing to trample over them to try and get into this door. But when Christ frees us of our sin and allows us to have that perfect standing before him, we don't have to worry about ourselves anymore. We can lovingly serve our neighbor. We can lovingly help our neighbor. Do we have the will? Do we have the determination? On our own, we do not. We cannot strive in our own power, but by our own determination, we would miss the mark. We would fall short of the narrow door. If we were dependent upon our own work, we would never get there. But the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, empowers us and strengthens us in the faith so that our salvation can be sure. And so, people who enter into the kingdom of God through that narrow door are those who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have struggled in repentance over their sins and believed and confessed that Christ is the one and only way to forgiveness and salvation. Because even as Christians, we still struggle in this life, don't we? We still have our fair share of struggles. We struggle to be what God would have us be. We may be tempted to doubt our salvation because of our sinful behavior, either our past behavior, our present behavior, our future sinful behavior. And that's the beauty of faith. It's completely outside of ourselves. Faith and salvation is something that God has given to us freely as a gift so that we can be assured of our salvation and of our eternity with Him reclining at table in the splendors of heaven. And so for those times when we doubt whether or not we're in or we're out, He's given us His word. He tells us repeatedly of the Lord's steadfast love toward us and how His faithfulness endures forever. He's given us the sacrament of holy baptism, which united us with Christ and serves us daily. It's not just that I was baptized, but I am baptized. I walk daily in that baptismal grace and in the forgiveness of sins. God has given us this assurance which is completely outside of ourselves. We've also been given the gift of the Lord's Supper. When we receive the Lord's Supper, we do more than casually eat and drink bread and wine. We actually commune with Christ. We have a foretaste of the feast to come, where we're going to recline at table with Christ for all eternity. Here in this place, you come to the table, and it's a foretaste of that feast to come, where you are communing with Christ, receiving through the bread and wine His very body and His very blood. And that very body and blood of Christ strengthens us in the faith. It strengthens us so that we can endure life in this sinful world, endure life struggling with our own sinfulness. It's a very tangible means for us to know that we have that communion with Christ, so that on that last day, we can know we are with Him because we've been with Him throughout our lives as we have received the Lord's Supper and communed with Him. And so when it comes to the question of whether or not we'll be on the inside or on the outside of that door on the last day, fortunately, the answer does not depend upon us. There is no doubt that we will be on the side of Christ, for He has united Himself with us in this life in order to take us safely into the next. And thanks be to God through Christ, who gives us this kingdom. Thanks be to Christ, who strove for us on the cross and opened that door of heaven to us. Thanks be to the Holy Spirit, who enlightens and sanctifies us so that we are able to enter through that narrow door into everlasting glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen. Our